Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, a special Jack and Tom edition of Ebling and You, talking about Michigan State and Michigan. A game, Tom, is now just 3 days away. Are you ready?
I can't get here fast enough, Jack. The weather's going to be spectacular. The tailgating will be unbelievable.
Just think of the potential letdown for you Saturday night.
No letdown.
You'll be able to function.
I'm very confident. Maybe it's going to be 84-56.
But Dr. John Braccio, as you recall, of Regional Psychological Services, has offered you a private consultation on Sunday. Talk you off the ledge.
It's about time I get a freebie. Yes, and I might need it, but I'm fairly confident the Wolverines will come out on top.
All right, let's bring in our next guest, quarterback who tasted victory over the University of Michigan.
Remember that 1993 game?
1993, 17-7 Michigan State victory, and also color analyst for Spartan football, Jim Miller. Hello, Jim.
Jack, Tom, good to be with you. And Tom, you better set that doctor's appointment pretty quickly.
Oh.
Keep away all the sharp objects and have the women and children leave the room, for God's sake.
Jimbo is talking a little confident here, isn't he, the ex-Sparty quarterback?
Well, you know, they say you want to keep the women away. The first thing you do is go to the University of Michigan campus. Hey, Jim, when you won in 1993, and that was a tremendous defensive struggle, you had some good passes in that game, but the thing I remember most was that Michigan State defense holding Tyrone Wheatley to 33 yards.
Yeah, it was a great performance all the way around. And, you know, I always got a feel as a player. I knew the week was big when George Perlis, our head coach, would go down and start dabbling with the defense. And sure enough, that week, you know, and it started on Monday. You know, where he kind of set the tone, went down to the defense of what he wanted to do defensively, and it just, you know, all week. I mean, just how we focused, how we worked. You know, I always came away knowing something special was going to happen defensively when he was down there dabbling in it, and it was just a flawless defensive performance by us that day.
You know, Jim, I remember another game that you played actually in 1990. You got in the game against Iowa. It was right before the night when Dan Enos had that tremendous game against Michigan, the controversial 28-27. But do you remember you getting into that Iowa game when Michigan State was really looking pretty sad offensively that game? I actually went to that game. Michigan was on the road. And then what a turnaround that next week was for the Spartans to knock off the number one Wolverines. That was number one versus no one.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, I think it set the tone. You're right. Danny got dinged up in that game. And John Gieselman, who was the quarterback ahead of me, you know, had injured his knee, I think, down at Indiana. Well, we had played a few weeks before, and I got moved up. You know, I was basically the backup as a freshman to Dan Enos, and it was an eye-opener for me. And it was a good experience for me to get in and play in a meaningful Big Ten game to realize what big-time football was all about. But, again, I think that year in 1990, we had a gritty group now. I mean, that was a heck of a football team.
Right.
What George Perlis had assembled and all the great players that were on there, and even that defense. I mean, think about that year alone. 17 guys on that team, the 22 starters, got drafted. I mean, it was a very talented football team, and it was by no mistake. We went into Michigan, and I know it came with a lot of controversy on the one play. I think Eddie Brown breaks up the pass to Desmond Howard, but we were truly a very talented football team that year.
I like the way you said that, Tom. Eddie Brown broke up that pass to Desmond Howard. And Eddie Brown also had the interception.
Thank God they didn't call the offensive pass interference.
I knew that was coming.
The push-off, yeah. Well, we've seen that.
He had it and he dropped it.
Jim, you've seen a lot of Big Ten football, and you've watched the professional ranks. What is it about the University of Michigan over the years that separated it from so many other schools in this conference?
Well, I think, you know, you look at most wins as a university. I mean, you got to take your hat off to University of Michigan. I mean, there is a lot of rich football history there, not only the coaches and the players and the pride and all the things that are entailed with building a great program. But, you know, things have changed. You know, actually the landscape of college football has changed. Now, I remember even when I came out in 1989, everything was Notre Dame and Florida State and University of Miami, and now you look at it, it's topsy-turvy. You got Florida really dominating down there in Florida. You got UMass and other programs, Connecticut, teams that are just popping up left and right that are now becoming national powerhouses. I even brought this up about Notre Dame. You know, think about Notre Dame and the history and rich history that they have. And when I was coming out, that's where everybody wanted to go. Now it's an afterthought to even think about, you know, accepting a scholarship to Notre Dame, because there's just a lot more prominent programs that are out there that are really getting a lot of the hoopla and the hype and everything that's entailed. So it is entirely different, but the landscape of college football has definitely changed.
Jim, I want to tap your expertise as we go into this Saturday's game. Everybody's thinking, all of us laymen think, oh, it's just going to be an offensive show, and you know, who's going to stop Denard Robinson, and yeah, how's Michigan's 3-3-5 going to stop Michigan State's potent rushing attack? I mean, is there any chance that one of these two defenses will step up and make a difference in this game to determine the outcome?
Well, I like Michigan State's chances, and I'm not just talking, you know, with bias here. I think they are much better defensively than what they've been in the past. And they still need a dominator to emerge as a defensive end, whether that's the freshman William Golston, you know, somebody that an offensive line has to really slide their protection to, because he is an absolute problem. But they've got other great players. You know, Greg Jones is a top middle linebacker in the nation right now. He can flat out run. And so can Eric Gordon. So can Chris Norman. And even the safeties. When you look at Trenton Robinson and Marcus Hyde, these guys can fly to the football. So I think Michigan State is going to have to deploy something where they have to spy on Denard Robinson, and rightfully so, because he's very talented, very explosive, and you got to give kudos to everything he's done this year. But he has to be accounted for. You know, it's like hunting season. He has to be a target of Michigan State, because when he goes, that's when U of M goes. So Michigan State has to negate him. And I'd much rather defend one person like Denard Robinson than five other weapons, like what you always talk about, making a team one-dimensional. You take away their one dimension, then I would think Michigan will struggle. But, you know, that's the challenge for Michigan State. We've got to stop a very good football player that is capable of great things.
Jim Miller, former Michigan State quarterback, and we just talked with Charlie Ballard, your old economics professor, and said you were a very good student, too, while you were here. Hey, we want to talk a little bit about another quarterback. You wore number 16 like Denard Robinson, but I think your game was a lot more similar to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and, you know, Kirk, to me, when you look at all the quarterbacks in the country, and everybody's going to throw out, you know, Andrew Luck of Stanford and Jake Locker out there in Washington, and of course Ryan Mallett down there in Arkansas. But, you know, I've said this over and over again. I talk with a lot of pro coaches in the NFL, and when you look at Kirk Cousins, he went out to the Elite 11 camp out there in California, and Rob Johnson, a former pro quarterback, runs that camp. He said, Jim, I had Kirk Cousins rated number one out of all of them. And so that tells you this kid's only a junior, and he may be the best quarterback in the country. And I know he's got some work to do in this game when it comes to decision making, but when it comes to intangibles and everything that what he is capable of doing, he is an outstanding quarterback and a great leader for Michigan State. So I think he's very underrated. I think his game is only going to get better. He hasn't scratched even the surface of the ceiling of what the heights he can reach, and he's got some good playmakers around him. You know, that wide receiving core is very talented. And now you factor in the running game. Kirk Cousins has a lot of weapons at his disposal, and he is more than capable of distributing the football.
You know, Jim, I want to get back to Denard Robinson for a second, though. I realize he's just one player, but there is a two-dimensional attack that he provides Michigan. Because when you go back to, for example, I'll recall a play in the Notre Dame game. It was a read option. It looked like he was going to run the ball, and then he sprints towards the line of scrimmage, and maybe 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, he hits Roundtree on a wide open, you know, bullet route. And so, I mean, that doesn't, in essence, make them two-dimensional as far as a run pass, don't you think?
Well, I think this. It's one thing to defend the spread option, and it's another thing to defend the pass. And if you're going to, you know, basically that play was a trick play. and you can defend that. That's already on tape, and that has been exposed, and that's something that Michigan State can, you know, prepare for and defend against. But if you're looking for the total package, you know, I think there is still work to be done by Denard Robinson. If you have to go in and you do have to stop several different things, a spread option that you talked about, and you have to close down the rush lanes and force Denard Robinson to throw the football, and it's going to create one-on-ones on the outside, because again, you have to spy a linebacker or you have to spy a safety on Denard because he is such an explosive runner. Now it's up to him. Can he hit those passes consistently would be my question about Denard. Because, you know, if we're going to compare Indiana, which I think we all agree is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and the other teams that Michigan has played, what was it, UMass put up 47 points and almost got in a shootout against. I mean, that does not bode well for the University of Michigan. I mean, this, you know, I don't want to, again, maybe I'm biased, but this could be a two-touchdown beatdown.
Jim, you're discouraging me. I don't like your tone.
Jim, we're going to have you on more often. Jim, I just want to ask you one more quick question. When you start to get confidence and you have a leader who is giving you that, whether it comes from the sidelines, whether it comes from the huddle, and you start to convert on fourth down and win the kind of games that Michigan State and Michigan have won in the last minute, what does that do for everyone on this team?
Well, I think it's big. I think for Michigan State, they, you know, those were games that typically Michigan State would lose, and I've been a part of those battles, you know, and it's very frustrating because the talent is there. But now the team is executing at such a high level. They believe in one another. The chemistry is off the charts. The coaching is off the charts because the continuity is there with the staff. And it's, you know, like what Mark D'Antonio always says about a foundation and things you can build upon. This team believes it can win, you know, and now they've been in a lot of close battles, and they've been there and done that. And now it's like it comes a point in time where what are we going to do? We've got to be the type of team that goes out and takes it. And Michigan State is starting to take that right now. I mean, all we heard last week is how big and bad and physical the Wisconsin Badgers were.
Right.
Michigan State beat that team into oblivion.
Yeah.
They beat that team into oblivion. And so they are setting the tone. They believe, and now they are starting to take what they believe is theirs.
Jim Miller, former Michigan State quarterback and analyst with George Blaha on the Spartan Radio Network. Jim, great talking with you. We'll see you Saturday in Ann Arbor.
Thanks, you Jim. Got it, guys. Tom, you better book that appointment, brother.
Okay.
We'll be right back, and we'll break down this game a little bit later. We're going to take your calls, 393-3700, a special Jack and Tom Show edition of Ebling and You on 1320 WILS.